Hebrews chapter 11. And go ahead and stand as we read together this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be reading in verses 17 through 19. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning and we spend time in your word, I pray, Lord, that we would find more wisdom in the story of Abraham and the life of faith that he lived. I pray, Lord, that we would find ways to apply it to our own lives. Even though it's a challenging story, I pray that there are things that are useful for us as we seek to live lives of faith that you desire for us in this world. In the name of your Son we pray. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Over the past couple of weeks, as I've been working on this message and working on looking at this particular passage, I've had one wish, and my wish has been this. I wish that I could go back and read this story again for the very first time. You know, this is a story that's probably very familiar to a lot of people, and sometimes when a story is familiar, it kind of loses its edge. Make no mistake about it, this is a very shocking story and situation. This is not the kind of story that a parent who has a Bible bedtime reading story time with their kids, this isn't the story you read. A story about Abraham offering his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And so I think one of my wishes is just that I could go back and read it for the first time and step by step, read through slowly in a situation where I don't know how this story is going to end. Let me go ahead and read to you a portion of the account as we originally find it in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 8. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early in the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, the father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Wilmington, Illinois is a small town that's not too far from where Lori and I live. It's right along the Kankakee River. I think you go through there on the way to visit your mom every Thursday. So it's not too far from here, so maybe you've heard of it before. Over the course of the years, there's actually been quite a few drownings that happen in Wilmington in the Kankakee River right there because there's a dam, and with the locks and dams, the water, the way it acts, makes it very dangerous for swimmers. And so it never fails. It's a very popular place to go because it's a wonderful park to visit, a great place for families, but the issue with the river is actually very dangerous. And so every so many years, we hear another story about usually it's not just one person dying, usually it's a couple people at a time, and a lot of times it involves kids and parents or kids and relatives. So it's a very dangerous situation, but what ends up happening is a kid gets in danger, they're not strong enough to fight against the current and the turbulent water, and so a parent or another adult jumps in and tries to save them, and in the situation ends up happening, usually an adult dies as well. Perhaps you've even heard of stories where parents or strangers get severe burns or are even killed while trying to rescue kids from a burning home. There's something instinctual, there's something very natural in terms of a person's reaction to kids being in danger, and people do whatever they can to save the life of kids. Kids are vulnerable, they're precious, they've got their whole lives ahead of them. The desire to save and protect kids is such a common and natural response that when we hear stories in the news about a mother or a father killing their own kids, we are horrified. It's sickening to think about how in the world could a person do such a horrible thing. And that's a rightful reaction to such a thing. Children ought to be abundantly loved on and cared for by their parents, not abused or killed. And then we come to this story in Genesis. God is asking Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as a test, and Abraham is going along with God's request. The question, if you had never heard this story before and you just read the beginning part, a pretty popular question would probably be, what is going on here? This story does not make any sense. What kind of a sick test is God up to when it comes to Abraham? What kind of an unloving father is Abraham to go along with this request? This story ought to make us very uncomfortable and ought to make us ask a lot of questions. And one of the questions is this: what kind of test is this? What exactly is it that God is testing? There's a pretty common reaction that I believe most parents would have if they were in this kind of a situation, if God were to ask them to do this kind of situation. And I think their reaction would be this. If God were to ask a mother or a father, I want you to sacrifice your only son, or I want you to sacrifice your only daughter, I'm pretty sure the response would be, take me instead. Let me be the sacrifice. Or in the famous words of a teenager by the name of Katniss Everdeen, I volunteer as tribute. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends, as it says in John chapter 15, verse 13. The sacrificing of one's own life for the sake of another is a testament to the power of love. Our world is filled with moms and dads, both Christian and non-Christian, who would willingly and without hesitation offer up their own lives for their kids. When it comes to this situation, God is not testing Abraham's love. This isn't to see if Abraham loves his son so much that he won't give him up. This isn't to see if Abraham loves God more than he loves his own son. At this point, Abraham has been following God for a long time. I think that God already knows that Abraham loves God, and I think he knows, and it actually says there, go and sacrifice Isaac, whom you love. He already knows that Abraham loves his son. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. It doesn't take faith to offer yourself as a sacrifice for another. As I mentioned just a bit ago, any parent, Christian, non-Christian, doesn't matter, any parent would take the place of their child willingly as a sacrifice. But it does take faith to offer your child as a sacrifice. As we read about in Hebrews, Hebrews says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. God is testing Abraham's faith in order to see what Abraham is going to do by faith. And here, there's a couple things that we see. The first thing we see is this: by faith, Abraham believed God. When God calls Abraham and tells him to go to a place where he's never been before, Abraham believed and he went. When God tells Abraham that he and Sarah are going to have a son in their old age, Abraham, well, let's just say he struggled with his belief. Over the course of many times, he had to be reminded of the promise over and over again. But Abraham struggled in his belief that God could do such a thing. How is that possible? And he tried to find alternative ways to make that happen. Through that experience, Abraham learned that he should have believed God's word. He should have believed what God had promised. And at the point when Abraham is asked by God to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, the question is not whether or not, the question that is being asked, what is being tested, is whether or not is Abraham going to believe God? Is God really asking me to do this? Is this really what God wants me to do? Or is God joking? Is he to be taken seriously? This odd request raises into question the promise of God to Abraham through Isaac, the promise of God to Abraham that through Isaac he will be the father of many nations. How in the world can Abraham believe that Isaac is going to be the one through whom he becomes the father of many nations? How can he believe that on one hand, and on the other side believe that God is asking him to sacrifice Isaac as an offering? God's request to offer him as a sacrifice. And is Abraham going to believe it? What we ultimately see in Abraham is that Abraham believes the promise that God gave him years before. He believes the command to sacrifice Isaac, shown in his actions. And he believes that somehow, in some way, God's original promise is still going to be fulfilled, even if he follows through on the sacrifice of Isaac, despite the contradictions. Another thing that we see in Abraham is that by faith, Abraham obeyed in the absence of understanding. A couple of years ago, Laura and I, we've had small groups going on over the last couple of years, and a couple of years ago, we got to know a missionary that was a part of our church, a retired missionary. And so one of the things we do is we go through and we're sharing our stories. As you've already been familiar with me, I like to hear people's stories. So it was really nice hearing her story and her adventures. She had spent time in India. When she got married later on, she ended up spending time in Israel and in the Gaza Strip area. So she had a very interesting, exciting life. With all the twists and turns that happened in the mission field, she learned one important lesson that Lori and I have held on to since she said it. And what she said was this: understanding can wait, obedience cannot. You may already know this about me, but I ask a lot of questions. And that doesn't just pertain to our Wednesday night Bible study thing where I go from one question to the next. I am always asking questions. And yesterday I asked Lori a question. "Hun, do I ask a lot of questions?" To which she laughed, yes, and a sigh, because I'm always asking questions. Prior to actual obedience, it's easy to have a lot of questions. And the bigger the calling that we have from God, the more questions we have. People want to know the full ramifications of their obedience prior to actually obeying. Our approach is basically, God, give me a clear picture of how things are going to turn out, and then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to obey. We want to make a fully informed decision when it comes to our obedience. But that's not what Abraham experiences. He knows what God is calling him to do, but he doesn't know why. Why is there a need for a sacrifice? He doesn't know. How will the promise be fulfilled? Again, he doesn't know. What will Sarah say when he comes home without Isaac? He doesn't want to find that one out, I'm sure. Abraham sets out with his son and a few servants on a 3-day trip with unanswered questions rattling around in his head. No answers, but he's on his way already to the place where he is called to sacrifice Isaac. Abraham is not sitting at home waiting for understanding. He's too busy obeying. By faith, Abraham believed God, and by faith, Abraham obeyed God, even without answers. So the big thing that I'm going through as we go through this series on by faith is we're looking at the stories of people and how they use their faith and what they were able to do by faith. And then the other side of that is for us, as we start on our journey together, is thinking, what are the things that we can do by faith? What can we learn from these stories that we can do by faith as well? By faith, we can believe what God says. Did you know that you can love someone without believing them? Last week, I mentioned the scenario of a little kid with chocolate all around his mouth, insisting that they didn't have the last brownie or they didn't eat something that they weren't supposed to. You can love that child to pieces and still not believe a single word coming out of that little kid's mouth. One question for us to consider this morning is not, do you love God? I know that I haven't been around here long, but I've been around enough to know, have a very good suspicion that this room right now is filled with a lot of people who love God dearly. After well over 25 years following God, I don't think that God was testing Abraham's love. I think there's a lot more going on there. Abraham believed, and it was credited to him as righteousness. There was a time when Abraham did not believe God. He was following after God. He was going to the places God had called him to go. But when it came to the promise of Isaac and having a child in their old age, we already talked about that, he struggled. And so what we see in the testing of Abraham is a growth in belief. Not a growth in his belief about God's existence, but a growth in his belief in God's word and the things that God says. He believed what God said enough to actually go on and do what God had said. When we read that we are to turn the other cheek, when one cheek gets slapped, do we actually really believe that we're supposed to do that? When we read that our sin nature can be put to death so that sin no longer reigns in our mortal bodies, do we really believe that? When we read that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, is that something we really, truly believe? If you answered no to any of those questions or maybe had a little wavering, like, I kind of believe that, I think I believe that, that's okay. And it's not just okay because that's where I am. I'm still wanting to grow in my belief. I want to believe the things of God more and more each day. I think it's okay because what we see in Abraham is a growth in belief. Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. And at the time when Abraham is asked to offer Isaac, he's at the point of 110 years old. So I still got quite a few more years before I need to be to the level of belief that Abraham is at. By faith, we can obey even without understanding. You do not need to know why God is calling you to do something in order to do the something that God has called you to do. You do not need to know what's going to happen as a result of your obedience in order to do the thing that God has called you to do. The only thing that you need is to believe that God has called you to do it. That's all you need to get started when it comes to that first step of obedience. Growth. That's what's on the other side of obedience. A lot of times when we want to try and decide which way we're supposed to go, are we going to obey or not, we want to know what's on the other side of that obedience. And what's on the other side of that obedience is growth. When we obey, we grow. It's a simple equation. And the faster we obey, the sooner we grow. But when we put our obedience on hold, when we decide that we need to know the why before we actually take a step, when we decide that we need to know what the next step is after this step in front of us, what that's going to look like, those kinds of hesitation get in the way and slow down our growth. My prayer, getting started up here, has been that God's calling for us as individuals, for us as a church, my prayer has been that God's calling would come down upon ready and obedient hearts, my heart included, hearts that are ready to go when God says it's time to go. Abraham was called to do the unthinkable, and he set out early the next morning. He packed up his supplies, along with his unanswered questions, and off he went. There's one other thing that we read about that Abraham did by faith that I didn't actually mention earlier. It just fits more to do this at the end. And this is what Abraham did by faith. But Abraham, by faith, received God's sacrifice. When all was said and done, God had provided a substitute sacrifice, and by faith, Abraham gladly accepted what God had provided. A ram took the place of Isaac, and this morning, as we're going to celebrate communion, we joyfully remember that the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, took our place. Unlike the ram, Jesus was not entangled in a thicket. He wasn't trapped in a situation he couldn't get out of, but Jesus did wear a crown of thorns. It is by faith that we step forward in obedience. It is by faith that we receive Jesus Christ as Lord. And it is by faith that we share in the Lord's Supper together. So we're going to actually sing Trust and Obey. We're going to sing a couple of verses of that. And after we sing, I'll come down here. And after we're done with the song, if you want to come together and gather, and if anybody needs to have a seat, I'm going to talk just a little bit. But if you want to come together and gather around here, we'll have the communion supper together.